But the real reason why I was nominated for vice president and president really had much more to do with the incredible amount of respect that the town of Franklin commands across the state.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime, on the internet, in your browser. Yeah, the browser, WFPR.FM. And in the local Franklin Mass Radio dial. Yeah, the dial or the knobs or the push buttons, preset it to 102.9. That's the number, and it's always going to be there. In the meantime, we're here in our glorious studio with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, Steve. The weather looks to be 50 next week.
Oh, I'll take anything more than snow.
I'll take it too. Rain. Bring rain.
Well, a little bit. You know, I'd rather just have the sun so we can melt the snow.
We don't have to plow rain,
Steve. We don't have to plow. That is true. That is true. Right. And keep the temps above so we don't have to deal with that other ice and whatever.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, definitely. And we've got a guest. We're going to not just a guest. Going to be potentially a regular, at least from a town perspective.
A new face and a new voice. For frequent listeners, they've heard about this since our deputy town administrator left last fall, Amy Frigiletti. We have a new director of communication and civic engagement. I'll let her introduce herself, but we thought we'd kick off 2026 with one of our new hires, Liz.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here with you. It's just been a blast getting to know everyone. And my name's Liz Kalagian. I'm an Abington native, and I'm now the new Director of Communications and Community Engagement for the town. Yeah. So I'm happy to be here.
Super fun, and it's great to have somebody else in the office. And we were just talking offline a little bit about communications. This is an area, Steve, as you know, that was identified in the Citizen Satisfaction Survey last year as a bit of a gap, rightfully so. We had had a couple of communication staff over the years that had left the organization or due to budget cuts.
Right.
And so Liz couldn't be joining our team at a better time with a new council and a new school committee, a new budget season, a new legislative session, and just an opportunity to kind of have a fresh set of eyes and ears, kind of look at all that we're doing and all that, you know, Steve, you and Franklin Matters and the Franklin Observer and Franklin TV and, you know, look at our systems and how are we getting information out. And I think, you know, I'm hopeful over the next couple of years we're going to see a huge improvement to that and getting out some of the information and the stories that we're doing here in Town Hall.
Yeah, and it's not that we need to reinvent the wheel. I think we've made some great progress, certainly when you started once upon a time. We don't even have to go back that far. But
My hair was brown. It was really brown, like all brown.
Mine was less gray.
Yours was less gray.
And you said you didn't want to put me out of a job. I said, Jamie, if you just do what you're supposed to do, I can do the other stuff that I want to do.
And look what happens, Steve.
And you've done a whole bunch of that.
Yeah, we have.
There's been some inconsistency, yes, because of the budget and turnover and stuff like that. But, you know, the alerts, the availability of the newsletter, which is going to be one of Liz's focal points. I mean, those things are happening.
I think also, you know, as I've reflected a little, you know, the packets, the agendas, you know, all the information that's in there, nobody can ever say they didn't have access to the information that the council has. They all get the same information. You know, and I think in the days ahead, I do subscribe to the superintendent's themes on systems. You know, I think what we're looking for Liz is to think, you know, where are our audiences? Where are the residents? You know, I think we also have to recognize, you know, other than you, Steve, and maybe Kim Muchow, and a couple of others, Mark Minichelli, people just simply don't have the time to come to meetings. And they want to know what's going on. They do know what's going on. But to spend 3 or 4 or 5 hours on a Wednesday night is not something people are going to do. And even if they watch it on YouTube, the likelihood of watching the entire meeting, right? So I think one of the focuses I've asked Liz to really focus on is, you know, obviously we can't go to every door, but trying to find out where people are getting their information, how can we connect them to information, and how can we connect old information to relevant new times, like mm-hmm. when there's snowstorms,
right.
you know, maybe we can push out Brutus and Carlos's snow presentation that they just gave in December and said, sure. hey, while you're sitting at home
right.
with all the snow outside, take a look at how the snow operations run.
And this is where the sidewalk plow plan is, right? Because those things mm-hmm. can't happen until the roads are plowed.
Why do we use so much salt,
mm-hmm.
right? What are the longevity of the trucks? We've mm-hmm. just heard from the fire chief. But mm-hmm. but while people are seeing snow outside their house, how can we connect them to the things that already exist, mm-hmm. right, in real time
sure.
and make things timely? So we're super excited to have Liz here, and we look for great things from her in the future.
I'm looking forward to working with her. We've already in the side conversations connected on a few things. We've got some similar interests mm-hmm. and similar
She worked for Needham TV.
Hey, I did.
She worked for Needham TV. She's a cable person.
And WB's exposure. That's right. And TV stations. She's worked in it all. So we're looking forward to some innovative stuff and hopefully a little less of me having to do some of this and talking.
I know
a lot, and I'm, you know, I get that I have a lot of knowledge, but we've tried over the years, Steve, to bring in other guests and try some new creative ways of doing this, and so we're going to try some new things for the podcast too.
I welcome that piece. Clearly, we'll get our time at some point.
Yeah, we always have our time.
We will, but we can still do things.
That's right.
And help, because it's only going to help the town overall. That's the whole point.
Absolutely.
And it comes out as my tagline. And we do this because Franklin matters. Mm-hmm. That's the whole driver point.
Well, why don't we do some quick hits?
We'll
do a few quick hits. So this is kind of a little bit of some quick factoids, I think, just to give the community an update. If you haven't tuned in to any council meetings or you haven't tuned into much because you've been shoveling probably most of your time, you know, a couple things. One, obviously, Liz is a new hire, but I also have a part-time admin that's been hired. So a little bit of a personnel update for everybody out there. Sandy Moore, who's a local resident, has retired, but she wanted to come back into work because she didn't want to stay retired anymore because she didn't like it.
People have done that.
And the organization has oftentimes been the beneficiary of some excellent employees. So we're looking forward to Sandy. So there'll be a little more admin help in my office. She started today, as a matter of fact. And then also the deputy director of facilities has been hired to give Kevin Harn some support.
I knew that was coming.
So that individual, John, should be starting in another week or so.
Okay.
And I think one that everybody was really upset about in the override failure was the loss of the part-time LPN at the senior center.
Trish,
due to a resignation that had happened in the senior center and some other staff that were worthy of more responsibilities, we carved up that job description and came up with some creative ways to get Trish back. And I've said it a million ways, but why not put it on the record again? You know, these are some of the consequences that were well known in advance of what was going to happen when the override failed last June. And sadly, Trish was on the chopping block a couple times. To reassure residents, too, we have an RN down there, a registered nurse as well. So it's not as if the senior center was going without a nurse. But I also do value, and I think all of us do value, Trish's enthusiasm. And she's just an incredible friend to many people down there. And it was heartwarming to see how many people were upset. Because I think as we move forward into this budget season, I'm hoping people reflect back on that and say, geez, you know, we lost something that was very important to us in our senior community. You know, the library stakeholders lost something that was important to them. The firefighters lost something important to them. Police officers lost two police officers, two SROs in our schools. And our schools were cut another couple million. And so the question for the community moving forward is going to be, how do we put all those pieces and join people together to find out how we're going to deal with future budget issues? But in the meantime, we're glad to have Trish back. She always lights up a room, and I know many people would feel better about her being back down there. So,
re-emphasize that piece because it was a restructure of the remaining personnel after the resignation.
Correct.
That enabled her to come back at no budget change.
That's right. No budget change.
People forget that.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to reemphasize that point.
And this one does not fit into the category that we hear all the time of, oh, they found the money. No, they didn't just find the money. Okay. You know, to your point, this was a restructuring of the department only because someone had resigned their position and we were able to re-look at the entire department. To that point, one of the reasons why we've been successful as an organization for 25 years is because we don't just rehire everybody that when someone leaves or
this
retires.
This is not the first time you've done this.
It's not the first time. This is actually, and I think you can give credence to this, this is actually our standard practice.
Sure.
When anyone leaves, we go back and review things and look at the job market and see if there's some ways we can do business differently. Brikalai Goodlander was going to leave the organization, our conservation agent.
Correct.
And then the Conservation Commission called me and said, are there any other ways we can do this? She might be willing to work part-time.
Yeah.
And then so we were able to work out a part-time job for her, part-time job for a part-time admin. And then, by the way, neither of those two employees will require town-issued health care. So we end up saving a little bit of money.
Sure.
We save our institutional knowledge with our incredible conservation agent.
She's
and been, we're addressing what I think a lot of people have had issues with is a little bit more admin help to take some of the pressure off some of the other admin staff down there who have certainly felt a pretty big brunt of the responsibility. So, you know, we always look at operations, and this is usually where, quote-unquote, we find the money. It's not bags. You've been in my office. Liz has been in my office. I open up the drawers. There are no bags of money in those drawers. Like, the, people think there are bags
there
of money.
There are no hidden pockets
of
money.
That's the rumor we heard for, you know, the superintendents and Jeff Nutting for years, but that's not the case. So we're glad to have all those people. And we've also brought back the third ambulance.
Which also which is, was, again, re-looking at some of the finances and rejiggering the finances again as kind of a net no change to the budget.
Correct. And as a result from that, we now have the third ambulance back, which is critical for public safety, but also gathering the revenue from the ambulance receipts that would be going to other towns.
Right.
And part of what happened there is I lost the deputy town administrator in my office among that budget shift last summer, which actually led to Liz's hiring. So, you know, I think these are good examples, you know, that show how we work internally and how we talk about things at meetings. And hopefully, you know, word will get out there that these are things that we try to do.
Just to reemphasize on that point. So while the third ambulance is back, it's only back for that 40 hours a
week. That's correct.
Right? Because it still goes back to 2010
when
the Long Range Planning Committee started their work to develop the five-year plan, which now is codified and you have to do that. That's when the chief acknowledged that at that point it was going to be 10 people in order to fully staff a third ambulance for all shifts.
Correct.
So you've added, the department has added the four to do the part-time piece. We still need more to make it full. So we're not there yet.
We're not there
yet.
But
that's part of the challenges that we have overall.
It's not, exactly. And obviously with the budget situation going into 27, we already know the community was extremely unhappy with that loss in service. So moving forward, we're not going to be able to cut the fire department. We're not going to be able to cut the senior center. Right, we know that a lot of people are looking for the SROs back, you know, for the police department. So this makes the challenge for the new council and the new finance committee even that much more difficult going into 27, because you already know the reaction from the community for those services. And obviously the ambulance is done during the peak times.
Mm-hmm.
So it is addressing the peak volume times. That was the strategy behind it. But we still obviously have a lot of way to go.
So do you have pencil sharpeners in the budget? Because the council is certainly going to need to get their pencils sharpened to go over the budget line by line to determine where any changes are going to come.
Yeah, it's... you know, I think anybody that's watched the budget, you know, the finance committee meetings especially, April 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th this year, second week of April, really.
Right.
Each night, general government, public safety is its own night, DPW is its own night, schools are their own night.
Right.
So you have 2 to 3 hours per night to walk through every line item. You know, I think the issue isn't going to be about where to cut. It's going to be about a set of values among the different members of the schools, finance, and town council about what do they value in there. Because somebody may think, oh, well, we can cut professional development, for example. You may save $30,000 or $40,000, but what's the impact on that on the staff, on recruitment?
Right.
And then maybe other members don't agree with that, and they believe professional development's important. I'm using those as like a very lighthearted example. Because as you know, Steve, you know, we never really had fat in our budget, but, you know, we cut out OPEB, we cut a lot of stuff out that are obligations that we need. And at some point, you know, the new group is going to have to look into the details and try to figure out where they're going to be able to cut. Speaking of them, you know, I know, you know, the new council really, in my view, and I think it's been somewhat seamless. I mean, it's certainly been a learning curve for a lot of folks that came in, but that's natural.
Yeah.
That's going to happen every election.
Mm-hmm.
The school committee has had four or five people change over every 2 years almost for the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And there's always a new learning curve. But I think, you know, I think a lot of what they've been able to do so far is really not skip a beat. We understand the meetings are going a little bit longer. The council did put in a new rule about starting at 6, ending at 10. I know that they already went through the 10 o'clock once, but what the positive thing is they are trying to put in those guardrails for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the first night you try something like that, anybody has to expect they're going to go a little bit beyond. And it really wasn't far beyond, but they did wrap up their business that night. But they have really done a lot of stuff already. I mean, I think they've already, you know, I think from a lot of community concern, they did go out and rescind or attempt to rescind the LIP for the project at 444 East Central Street, Stobart's. That project is now on appeal, both in Superior Court, but also at DEP with the wetlands view. So this is going to hang out there for a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of residents that are listening to this that were concerned about Stobart's, you know, the new council did come in and vote, not unanimously, but they did vote in the affirmative enough votes to rescind that LIP, and we'll see how that goes on as things go on. They have approved all the liquor licenses. This is their first time.
Mm-hmm.
Ever doing liquor licenses, which is complicated and a lot to learn,
right.
But they were able to approve all of those for 2026. And I would note, if you're listening out there, this is the time for you to go out and eat local. We are going to try to do some restaurant weeks. I think Liz and I have talked about that throughout the year. It's going to be on the goals for the council. But we have had, this is the boom time with local eateries, so get out there and eat local. They did approve a couple of new ZBA appointments. Again, for listeners out there that, you know, were unhappy with the way people treated the ZBA or didn't like Mr. Hunchard in particular, or for whatever reason didn't feel like the ZBA were listening to residents, you now have a completely new Zoning Board of Appeals. You have three incredibly intelligent people who are all well-versed on these issues that got appointed. And while we all can admit, Steve, you've been an observer for the meetings for a long time, sometimes the sausage is a little ugly when it gets made. And sometimes...
Sausage can be ugly, yes.
But, you know, it's part of the process, and it's part of the system, and not everything is always going to look glorious.
Yeah.
But let's also give the council credit. They unanimously ratified a whole new board. I think many of them ran on trying to clean up and gain some respect back at the ZBA. So for those of you that didn't find any of this out anywhere else, we now have a fully new Zoning Board of Appeals, which is really great. And it's really something hopefully I will never have to really think about very often again in the future. The FY27 budget model is out. There's already been an extensive presentation at a council meeting. They've already approved half of the capital plan this year. And so I anticipate the budget release being on March 27th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
This month.
The school committee already approved their budget,
yep.
So you can include that fully as opposed to just kind of putting a placeholder.
Right. So then the only two other placeholders with that
healthcare
and snow and ice removal.
Right.
I mean, those are the two issues kind of going into next year. Two significant ones. Like, I'm not trying to slight them.
Major developments at least somewhat in your control on the healthcare side.
Exactly. And we're transitioning to a new healthcare consortium, so that's going to take a little time. We won't really have anything to be able to put out until probably around Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the resident out there that's concerned about the budget, the override cuts, or anything, read the model that's out there now, because most of what's there, the vast majority of what's there, has either been litigated extensively over the last few years, or you will realize that I can't cut the procurement department. It's one person.
Mm-hmm.
I have a state obligation to do procurement.
Right.
I can't cut the planning office because I have to have a planner on the planning board. Like, I have to have a health director and a registered nurse on staff, right? So when you start walking back all of those smaller departments, you end up realizing they're really the big five.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you get into those, as I'm sure with Will Brutus and everybody this year on snow and ice removal, there's a lot less bandwidth in the DPW budget than there's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
There's no money to fix roads. Right. In the operating budget, there's no money to fix. There's maybe $100,000 to fix roads and sidewalks,
which may not cover beyond the potholes.
Which is not going to cover when all the snow melts in a month. Everyone will see the potholes.
Yeah.
Look through it, and recognize that whatever's in the budget behind all of those dollars, even if it's a small amount for the historical museum, you know, there are a lot of people in Franklin that care about our town's history and care about the historical museum and care about historical resources and want to do projects. It may be 0.00001% of the whole budget.
Right.
And it may not be as important as a teacher or a firefighter, but it's still very important to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to struggle out there as the listener to find too much of that that is going to save us from the inevitable.
Right.
So take a look at that. And then lastly, I would say, in terms of quick hits, they've had two goal sessions already. So they had one discussion in February. There's going to be another one on March 4th to finalize their goals. And, there's a lot of great stuff there that if the community looks at it, I think represents a pretty fair amount of what people are mm-hmm. talking about in the community. And
sure.
So all of that has been within 4 months. So I don't think we're behind. I don't think the council's behind. I don't think anyone would expect them to be farther ahead than they are, because some of this is just learning curve. But I think they've all done a good job trying to pay attention. They're all trying to keep their eyeballs into the memos, the material, trying to dig into facilities. We've had presentations from omnibus presentations on facilities, public works, infrastructure. It's been a lot, actually,
in five or six months. Yeah, and from my point of view, certainly as an observer, one of the pluses, I think, is that while the council is going through everything, almost everything they're doing is new. It's the first time. So for a resident just tapping in, you can go into a conversation.
Absolutely.
ABC, alphabet soup, et cetera. No. Because you're tapping in and everything is getting explained because it's the first time.
Yeah.
So now the resident can also mm-hmm. get that first explanation and figure out what's going on. So there's the plus there. Yes, by nature, the first time everything will take us a while to go through because it's also cyclical.
It's also cyclical.
Right? So you'll get an ABCC thing and you'll get another one. You'll get the quarterly PEG renewal. Yeah. And you'll get some other
committee appointments,
et cetera. So there is a process to that, and they'll go, and hopefully the other residents who are interested will also be able to learn along the way.
I think you might have been there at the Downtown Partnership meeting the day and a half after the election, and I stood up in front of the entire group and said, you know, regardless of how you voted or how you feel about how the election comes out,
mm-hmm.
your point is spot on. You have seven new members that have seven new perspectives with fresh ideas, with fresh eyes and ears open. You know, engage them, right? Talk to them,
right.
Share your views, you know, be kind to them, compliment them, get angry at them. Like, really, I mean, I think this is an opportunity for every listener out there to exercise their voice. If people were frustrated that they felt like other people in the past maybe already, you know, we knew their position on something, well, here's a fresh group of people to engage. And
right.
I think if you are new to town or you're new to government or you're new to the latest kerfuffle on Facebook, you know, here's the moment to really engage your new elected body. And so I know this week we've got a few issues on the agenda that will be kind of unique. And then each meeting after that, on March 18th, I should put a plug in, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, the Commissioner's Office,
right.
is coming 70. To go through a Chapter 70 presentation, and it's a joint meeting between the school committee and the town council. So both of them groups will be there.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk about all things Chapter 70 and local aid mm-hmm. and hold harmless.
Right.
And you'll have the state, and just appreciate Jonna for the superintendent's office for setting that up. And I think already you're seeing the school committee and the council meet together for their first meeting, and hopefully it'll be the first of many other ones that they'll join together mm-hmm. and start talking about some of these issues.
Yeah, that's one of the other
are beneficial points that I've been at least detecting. While some of the meetings certainly are longer, there's a lot of attempts to help build the bridges between the two different groups, never mind within each of the groups. Yeah. That is going to take some time. Relationships take time to build.
Yep.
But that time is now at least starting, so that as the time goes, that we should be seeing the progress.
We should. And I think we will. And I think it just takes some time to, you know, Robert's Rules of Order just takes time. Decorum, right? How to respond to people. Mm-hmm. These things are, you know, it takes time to learn, right. You know, the best practices right. to all this
for
stuff.
Sure.
So,
for sure.
So we're doing pretty well. And with spring around the corner, you know, I think we got a great, great list of things for the community to look at over the next several months. So
marching forward.
Yeah. I like that. That's pretty good. It took me a second to get that. Marching
slip
forward.
That one in
slip
there.
That one in there. Yeah. But as you know, one of the issues that we were coming to focus on today is the Mass Municipal Association. This was touched upon by Councilor Griffith at the last meeting. I think there have, and we'll get to this later, there have been a few people who, I don't know really what the full complaint is, you know, if it's just I'm wasting time at MMA stuff or whatever, but she asked about it, and I'll give a plug to Reese Hansen and a couple of others who on the school committee who reached out and said, you know, it would have been nice to hear him at a council meeting talk about the Mass Municipal Association and being president and vice president and what that means, but that would be another hour probably at a council meeting. And so they gave the suggestion to do it on Talk Franklin, which got me to say, Steve, we haven't gotten together in a little while. But chime in whenever you want, Steve. And just to back up super quickly for those that don't know, the Mass Municipal Association represents all 351 cities and towns. They're right. Essentially our advocate, our lobbyist, if
from
you will.
From a local government perspective, across the Commonwealth.
And all 351 cities and towns are dues-paying members of the MMA. So
right.
Everybody pays their dues. I think the town here pays about $4,000 a year. It's out of the town council budget.
Mm-hmm.
And their two main responsibilities, I would say, are professional development for their employees and also advocacy work, right? So one, professional development. They do webinars. They do strategic planning exercises. They bring in a whole variety of people for members. And what are those members? It could be mayors, could be finance committee members, human mm-hmm. resource professionals. Liz's position actually just got a new consortium started for communications professionals.
Which yep. is key, absolutely.
Which is really kind of
yes.
cool.
Yes.
It's city councilors, select board members, town managers. The MMA has a board of directors that oversees the entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made up of mayors, managers, city councilors, and select board members.
The doers of the town, right. local government, community
correct,
government.
Correct. Right. And there's a very complicated bylaw process on who gets appointed when and where and how they all go through.
But part of that is kind of like you're gaining experience within the organization before you just go up. So you're not just going to go to the top
usually
without having had
correct.
Some.
Usually the managers, for example, have our own association within the MMA, and we have our own group. That's where a lot of the professional development actually comes for me. You,
right.
you pay $40 to go to a conference for a full day.
Yeah.
And you get some sort of exercise, you know, and obviously as members, we try to choose the ones that we think are valuable. You know, very few of us go to every single one.
Sure.
But then through the Managers Association, they elect you onto an executive committee. And then, like you said, you kind of get an understanding of the depths of the organization and where everything is as you kind of grow into it. Mr. Nutting, my predecessor, was heavily involved in the MMA mm-hmm. for many, many years.
Sure.
He actually created the Town Managers Boot Camp, which I went to 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gives you the one-day 101 on what you're getting
all
yourself
you
into.
All you need to know.
Oh, it was.
Well.
It's a sobering day, I'll tell you that. I do remember Jeff. I didn't know him at the time, and I never knew Jeff until I applied for this job. But Jeff has always been, and I've been, and I know the superintendent is too. We are very, very committed to our employees' professional development, and as an extension, you know, the facilities directors and their association, the DPW directors have theirs, and
mm-hmm.
The planners have theirs, and the assessors
right.
have theirs,
sure.
and every part of that, principals have theirs, and
yep.
the superintendent has a whole you know, labyrinth of organizations with Mass Associations, superintendents, school committees. So this is very similar. The town clerks have an association, and oftentimes a lot of these meetings do take place in Franklin, which is actually really great for our reputation because people come to our training room, to our third floor. They always say to us, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. How do you have schools in town in the same building? And look at all this stuff you have here, and look at how good it is, and the building's clean. And so we have a lot of that that comes in. And Jeff was always very supportive and very involved. And as far as I could always tell, and you can chime in too, Steve, when I first got here, and still to this day, the town council has always been incredibly supportive of Jeff doing that work, of me doing that work. Mm-hmm. And they were always and always have been extremely supportive of all of our staff. You've had DPW Director of the Year. You've had Health Director of the Year. You've had Recreation Director of the Year. You have some real true all-stars in all of our departments that have worked through their groups. I know the Vice President-President piece has stuck out there for a few folks. And I hope to clear up some urban myths. So I didn't actually seek this seat. I wasn't looking for more to do. You know, my colleagues nominated me. And, you know, to be honest with you, it still doesn't feel real, you know, because we're not elected officials as managers.
Right.
You know, we don't go out to talk about ourselves very much. Right. And I probably don't do this to a fault. I probably should do more. But oftentimes, and I'll admit it, I'm a little scared to say something good about myself because usually people just, honestly, they just attack me more.
Right.
They just get out there and they want to hate more.
Well, you did that. How come you can't do this? How come you can't do this?
Well, and also like even professional achievements with certifications or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you work towards something, you're in a career, you try to better yourself but better other people, and it doesn't always feel good. And I'm not here to talk about my achievements in MMA or anything. I'm here to do the work that I love to do in the town that I love. And so it is a little uncomfortable to always talk about these things. That being said, I didn't run for this. I didn't seek it out. My colleagues nominated me and came to me a couple years ago and said, we want you to do this. And, you know, that feels good. I mean, I think anybody in our profession, in any professional area, if your peers, you know, it's the ultimate compliment, right? Yeah. And they didn't pick me, by the way, because of just me. Mm-hmm. I know my role in it. I know the skills I brought to it. Most people don't know I worked for two governors, and I worked in the State House for about 10 years for a couple of state senators. And so obviously the MMA is looking, when they're going out for advocacy, they want somebody who can speak Beacon Hills language and at least be somebody who's can build bridges and has good relationships.
Right.
But the real reason why I was nominated for vice president and president really had much more to do with the incredible amount of respect that the town of Franklin commands across the state. Sometimes I definitely feel like people around the state think a lot higher of us in Franklin than sometimes people in Franklin think of ourselves.
You know?
And I know that that seems a little stinging, but at times it feels true.
Right.
And I think it is true, and that's okay. As Chief McLaughlin said during my review last year and a lot of the department heads, you know, really the innovation that Franklin has put on the board for at least 25 years since Jeff got here, in 2001, is almost second to none in Massachusetts. There are towns that have a lot more money than us. They can just keep buying things they want and keep innovating.
Right.
We're a swing state. We're like Arizona. We actually have to work harder to make that money go further, and it's what's make us proud. Mm-hmm. But this, to me, as I said when I was nominated and voted in as president, and I said it at every meeting I've ever been at, really is a team win. It's a team award. This isn't really just about me. I get up there and I run the meeting, but really as president, it's really an honor for the community to be up there. Mm-hmm. And why does that matter? Our reputation in Massachusetts and regionally is about as sterling as any organization or any municipality you can get in New England. And it's because of the dedication and commitment of all of the volunteers and elected officials, their support to always see the view from 30,000 feet and be able to be committed to an organization that is steady and that is consistent. And there's a lot of respect up there. And I think when you look back on it, I thought it was somewhat fitting that around 25 years when Jeff got here, you know, both Jeff was MMA president, right, by the way, back in 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. So my predecessor was president at one point, 16 years ago. And here I am at the 25-year marker, you know, as pointed out by a few people as a negative in town, but it's really a positive. You've had a very secure and well-managed, you know, organization for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And that consistency and that stability, we almost never have a department head leave. And so people look up to that. Mm-hmm. And people look to the way that we do things. They call me all the time. They call Franklin TV a lot.
They do.
In fact, there was one point where we were featured on a webinar because of you guys.
Sure.
In the pandemic.
Right.
We showed the state of Massachusetts how to do hybrid meetings,
yes,
how to be inclusive.
Right.
And Pete was on that, and yep, people from Needham to Amherst, mm-hmm, across the state came to Franklin and said, how are you making every meeting available in person, on Zoom, over phone, on YouTube?
Right.
So, like, these are the things that people have taken, you know, I think a little bit for granted that we have them here in town,
right,
but that it's not like this everywhere else.
Right. No.
And so, you know, I think a couple people probably listening are curious about, well, what's the time commitment, right? So as president, the word sounds a lot more glorious than it really is, I'll tell you that. When somebody called me Mr. President once, I was like, please don't ever do that again. Like, but in all seriousness, there's 8 meetings a year. So I spent about 8 Tuesdays over the course of the year. And basically what I do is run the board of directors meeting for an hour and a half. And really that's just managing 50 board members that are mayors, city councilors, and just making sure the meetings get done on time. Mm-hmm. But one of the real values was you chair by statute the local government advisory committee. It's called LGAC.
Right.
And you co-chair that with the lieutenant governor.
Which is, in terms of relationships, that's prime, especially mm-hmm, given right, what we've been forced to do with all the budget issues. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And lobbying, advocacy, the perfect storm report that showcased how we've been shortchanged UGA money for mm-hmm, 10 years, right? Well, that impacts Franklin. And so when you get an opportunity to be with the lieutenant governor and cabinet secretaries, you know, once a month, when you have an ability to put Franklin's voice in every piece of legislation and, well, what's Franklin doing and how does Franklin view this? You can try to steer the ship a little bit more toward Franklin's benefit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the positive. The other positive, obviously, is you have, we live in a relationship business. What Liz and I do is relationships-based. That's yep, all it is, right, I mean, in a lot of ways. And for Franklin to be able to have a direct dial to the lieutenant governor, for Franklin to be able to have a direct dial to your state legislature, to be able to meet with the chair of Ways and Means, right? Mm-hmm. And Aaron Michaelwitz is somebody that I used to work with years ago in Chinatown for 2 years. We worked in the same neighborhood together, rekindling that relationship. Telling Aaron our story, right, yeah, about Hold Harmless,
sure,
and the impact. And by the way, Boston has a Hold Harmless problem.
Sure, they're the number one.
I got to meet Mayor Wu recently and made a plug that we're the two, we have something in common. We're the mm-hmm, two highest Hold Harmless communities. Mm-hmm. So when the legislature goes to reform Chapter 70 in a couple years, right now, hopefully we've got a little bit more knowledge out there of saying to people, we've connected some dots and said, how can we try to avoid, right, you know, calamity on our town?
What are the impacts? How do we mitigate those properly?
And yes, putting together an UGA situation for unrestricted general government aid, mm-hmm, which is local aid that can go to schools and town.
Right.
Putting in a good pitch for that, right? Laying the groundwork for that. My time actually spent with the MMA as president was actually fairly limited. So mm-hmm, I would say half of those 8 meetings were by Zoom. So I did them in my office from 10 to 11:30 and then would get on Zoom from 1 to 2 with the lieutenant governor. And then the other 4 or 5 meetings, there's one optional meeting each year. They may have it or may not. But then you do one retreat in person, and then you do, they've committed to one in Western Mass and then 2 in Boston.
Sure.
So obviously those were days spent out of the office. at the end of your role as president, they actually then make a donation on your behalf, which I did not know until the end, by the way. And so I did just recently make that donation to the Franklin Food Pantry. So, you go into like kind of the history here and you look back, and I should give quick note to other counselors who have participated. Melanie Hamlin was on the City Counselors Association for several years.
Right.
And Amy McCarthy Earls, yes. Before the pandemic,
sure.
Was on the... The City Councilors Association too, and I think if both had stuck with it and whatnot, maybe they would have gotten up into the executive board, and you never know, they could have been right. MMA president someday.
Yeah. I know at least when you have kind of the annual conference, I've seen everybody coming out of that with a positive story.
Yeah.
Hey, we were talking and they don't do it like we do here.
Yeah.
And they're having more issues, but they're asking us. I mean, that was the common theme, reinforcing your point that we have a reputation outside that's better than what we have inside.
I think I do. I think that it's some of it's just natural.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's just what comes,
right.
People can get disgruntled about issues. And we understand that, whether it's housing or whether it's, overrides or whether it's redistricting or whether it's fees for schools. But I think one of the struggles that has been there recently is this feeling of pride in town. And I know there's a lot. But to your point, I think there's such an incredible reputation that this community has, for really being the organization that really charts the course in a lot of different areas of public policy.
Right.
And a lot of legislators, and certainly our governor and lieutenant governor, I can tell you, have a huge admiration for Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I think the folks in Franklin that, certainly they get into the weeds on the issues, as they should, but for the people that sometimes get a little too deep into the quicksand, I think it's still important sometimes to be able to get out of it and be able to look around and say, like we were just talking about offline, every day I come into this job, half of the day easily are things that people in town are just excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a meeting last week with the athletic boosters and Ryan and Lucas over finally getting that sign up that acknowledges all of our athletic achievements. Welcome to Panther Nation up
sure.
on Panther Way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just feeling in the room, Lucas and I were both there, and we're just feeling how excited people were.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't wait for that to come to fruition,
Mm-hmm.
So every day we're doing all these things.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like the politics gets a little dirty, or a little difficult. But I think, the real value in a lot of this from my standpoint, and I know Jeff Nutting felt the same way, and I know the counselors in the past have felt the same way, is, it's a very small amount of time on my schedule. It's a very small amount of time to offer up, to make sure that we maintain that reputation, that we're seen as an organization that people want to be a part of. It's really great for recruitment for staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. I'll tell you one other random benefit is vendors that weren't aware of Franklin before, they're now aware, and they're
sure.
bidding on,
yep.
on projects in Franklin, which means prices on things will hopefully
be
stabilized or be competitive.
Sure. Yep.
It really markets out to the outside world,
mm-hmm.
Where we are, who we are,
mm-hmm.
what we're about. It puts a good face to the franchise. And so I think in the big picture of it all, it's very few hours of the year
mm-hmm.
to dedicate towards something you're going to get an easily return on investment from.
Right.
Maybe
hard
picture.
To quantify, but it's there
mm-hmm.
and it's relevant and has big potential going future. And I think one of the other pieces that was coming to mind as you were talking, clearly our new tagline is first of many,
mm-hmm.
and effectively the town got to that point, not
yeah.
just in terms of the first being the first name, first library, et cetera,
yeah.
but the first in the government that you've done,
right.
the various, addressing this with the redistricting, the restructure of the fire department,
yeah.
restructure the police department, putting the schools in town together in the same building,
yeah.
all of those efficiencies forced to a certain extent
That's
by
right.
the budget issues, but we're far ahead of the game OPEB as another example, OPEB. Right?
Yep.
We've been putting money aside. We're not resolved yet. That'll come when the Norfolk County stuff goes and we can reapply money there. But we're doing better than, respectfully, our other communities.
Unquestionably. I mean, even things like the Habitat for Humanity Project down on the old South Church.
Sure.
Like, you know, I mean, I put up a LinkedIn thing on that, and, you know, people just could not stop calling me to find out how we were able to put the pieces together on this.
Yeah.
Former Superintendent Hearn, I'm sure Lucas gets it a lot, too. Can you send us your agreement on facilities? How did you join? How did you work this out?
Right.
You know, our department heads and staff get called all the time from our peers, and I think it's another reason why it's not just me, but it's why Brutus and Kathy and Ryan and Chief McLaughlin and Chief Lynch, and you could go down the list. I'm probably forgetting some right off the
Chief
top of my
Allen,
head.
Said
Chief
McLaughlin. Allen.
Yeah. Well, Chief McLaughlin was
prior
with, you know, everybody.
Chief Allen's now in the role, but he would say the same thing, I would think. Yeah.
People call us and say, how do you do it?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe this interview, maybe a few more discussions on what the importance is here, you know, of the MMA's work or being president, you know, maybe this will help, you know, kind of clarify for people why it's important, what it is. I would also note these MMA meetings, even serving as president or not as president, aren't at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not supplanting meeting times that would be for any other meeting.
Right.
It's not taking away from any other business or work that's going on in town. You know, I know that the deputy town administrator position got a little politicized last year, you know, a little bit out there in the community. And there's certainly some opinions that I understand that people question the position or not. But really, none of these things are completely, you know, married in some sort of way where there's a direct correlation of a loss here for Franklin. In fact, I think and hope that I've articulated a way that in the aggregate, even though it's hard to quantify on dollars and cents, you know, the fact that, you know, even the MMA makes a donation like that, which I, again, had no idea until they walked up to me and said, oh, by the way, we make a donation on the president's half. Is there a organization that you want to donate to? And I was like, Franklin Food Pantry. And they said, you want to think about it? I said, nope, that's it. They need the help. Like, we're here for them. And it was a great use of money. Even if you want to look at it like that, you know, you know, overall, it's been a great experience. And I said it to, you know, to the council, you know, last year. I said, this is an honor that you should relish in, that your community got asked to do this. You know, this, I think there might be some urban myths out there that think that I'm trying to do all these things, right? That I'm trying to gloat or self-celebrate or go put myself up on a more important pedestal than other people. Those opinions are not valid. Those opinions are just from people who try to, I think, generally either want to seem like it's questioning the time commitment or they don't know what they're doing. And I think it comes from a few other people that just simply want to kind of gaslight situations, honestly. It goes without saying that, you know, I've certainly heard a few of the more extreme rumors that somehow there's conflicts of interest involved in this, or there's ethical impropriety in this, or that people are in cahoots with this, or this. That stuff is all a bunch of malarkey and a bunch of baloney. It is not founded. It is not true. There are no ethical improprieties or ethical violations in these things. You know, and I know that people sometimes want to throw that stuff out on Facebook, but what worries me is people put those opinions out there that are totally inaccurate and defamatory. They're not true. And to me, it also, those allegations that get put out there are not things where people come to me and ask me that. They just throw it out there. But I think sometimes those comments do a lot of damage in trying to make people understand not just the value in this of talking about it for 20 minutes, but also just sitting there and saying, like, you know, isn't this a, you know, we're trying to tear people down, right? We're trying to tear somebody down because we're mad at them because of some other position they have that we didn't agree with. So now I'm just going to make up a bunch of stuff that is not true.
Yeah.
And it's sad because I think to some degree it's worked. And I think to some degree it's worked where people really believe there's some sort of, you know, collusion or some sort of thing that goes on. They've made up relationships between agencies and the MMA that absolutely have no relation to each other. They don't have any governance together or anything. Mm-hmm. The MMA is its own independent organization. It's made up of its members. It listens to its members. Each faction has their ability for input. It's a complicated process, mm-hmm. but that advocacy is real, and the priorities that the MMA puts out and the work that they do mm-hmm. is completely separate from other agencies or federal government agencies do.
Right.
So
right.
I hope I've answered a lot of this. I hope people find that 20 minutes or so to be mm-hmm. helpful. And, you know, I'm not here to convince everybody that this was the best use of time. And I'll close out this. My term is over.
I was going to say, because effectively this is...
No longer president.
Right.
My term ended in January. There's a couple ceremonial things, a couple meetings I'm going to go through again on Tuesdays during the day mm-hmm. as past president. But I've done my role, I've done my time, and now it's somebody else's turn, both legitimately now because it's a mayor that's president and a select board member that's vice president, but mm-hmm. even beyond that, this is over, it is done, and you know,
yes, from your time, but no, from the relationships and the experience and the awareness
correct.
That we've talked about
mm-hmm.
that should correct. Still benefit the town going forward.
Okay. You're right. I appreciate that, Steve. No, you're exactly right. I think that brand that we've been able to do and the things that we've been able to do out here will continue to stick with us. So, you know, and you know, even for those that, you know, I understand may still not agree, and that's okay, right? They think, well, still, I don't really like the time.
They can call you, send them an email.
They can send me an email. I also would say, like, try to find a little bit in you to be happy for the town and that you have people here that are working as tirelessly as myself and others. And that even if you really still don't care, maybe you could just be happy for me once. and to the point about professional certification, and maybe I need to do a better job myself of trying to celebrate these things, but last year in November, I was awarded my credentialed manager certification, which is the highest level of certification a manager in the United States could get.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. I'm charting. Wow. I'm like sweating because I'm like, don't ever say anything nice about myself.
Excellent.
And so this for me is like a big deal because I never celebrate anything like that. And it is a big deal. And there are very few people in Massachusetts that are credential managers. By the way, you have to take an exam. First of many. I appreciate that. I don't think Jeff is a credential manager. You're right. First of many. It's really also a glorified award for somebody that's just got a lot of gray hair that's been in the trenches for a long time. Because it's really an acknowledgement. Okay, you've been doing this for 15 years. Now you can get a thing.
Right.
But I probably do need to do a better job of reflecting a little bit on the positive and also on the places you can work, right?
Sure.
So there's a self-assessment you go through with this.
Correct.
And there are areas of improvement that get highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say one of them is strategic planning, which is very fascinating mm-hmm. given where the community is at.
Right.
And I thought it was pretty cool that after a self-assessment and going through, you know, 100, 200 questions, whatever they were, it takes like 6 hours. And then you come out and it tells you something that you already know your community is kind of struggling with.
Right.
And it kind of validated for me. It was like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, this stuff kind of works. It's kind of neat. You probably had it in your field.
We did some of those evals over the time, yes. The long corporate experience in multiple corporate financial and tech environments. So, yeah, that's a thing. And it's good to see that it happens on the town side as well, municipal side, because clearly there's always that, well, in the corporate world, you do this. In the municipal side, there are limitations as to what you can do, but you're still providing a service to the residents of the community.
Yeah.
And that's a big service function.
I appreciate that. And, you know, so there's the soup to nuts of the MMA. I hope everybody enjoyed a little bit of that. And, you know, we're going to try to improve from there, but hopefully people got a good impression of some of the work that we're trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for that, for sure.
No, thanks for the time. And before we leave, Steve, a tradition you and I had, but we got to get back into, this one was hard, is songs affiliated with communication, because Liz is here
today. Songs affiliated with communication.
And so I can only come up with two, which is the Natural Communication Breakdown by Led Zeppelin, which is a, we're going to hope that Liz is not going to bank on Breakdown, which is communication success.
I do love Led Zeppelin.
And maybe the Beastie Boys with their album Ill Communication. Was maybe a better, was a little bit more my age than where I grew
up. More 90s.
More 90s. Yeah. But other than that, Steve, I don't know if anything comes to head.
I'm sorry. I'm not
drawing a blank, right?
Adele?
Mm. Adele?
Hello.
Oh, hello. I like that.
Nice job, Steve.
That just came out of the blue. But yeah.
I want to look it up. I want some. I want a good one.
It's tough. It's tough. Like, Highway was easy. Schools were easy.
Right.
Yeah, you know, some of the other ones were really...
When we did conservation and recreation,
that was super easy.
Yeah,
But this one was a little harder. This one was really tough.
And you didn't even give me a preview of anything. Like, I'd given you somewhat of a preview of the topic, but I didn't allow you to kind of Google anything.
Yeah. I was like, Stevie Nicks, talk to me. You can talk to me.
There you go. Exactly.
Let's do it.
Once you get into that...
You guys can talk to me. It's two-way dialogue. I'm opening this conversation for residents to reach out.
And that is going to be your new Talk Franklin podcast, where it's going to be a hell of a lot less of me going on and hopefully a lot more of Liz.
Yeah, talk to us.
I can't wait.
We should do a first of many podcast.
First? I like that. I like that.
I like it.
Because there are so many firsts that we're having here. Like you even mentioned that earlier, I had one of the podcasts that I had done recently was with a family in Franklin who rescues farm animals.
Oh, I love that.
I had no idea.
That's super cool.
We will do a video tour once there's less snow on the ground and go meet Mike the pig. They've got like 40 something. They started with Mike and he was like 250 pounds. Now he's like 350 something. He's a good sized pig.
He's a good boy.
They also
big
have
boy.
Two other pigs that are blind.
Wow.
But they're rescues. So they're living a good life here in Franklin. Who knew? And the interesting story, I'll put the link into the show notes, but the Maloney family and their tagline is more farm than fancy.
Nice.
Because she came out of the retail world.
Okay.
And yet kind of gradually started saving, and then the conversation came during, I think it was she and her daughter sitting outside in one of the farm nights, et cetera, and I think I'm doing more farm than fancy, and it was like, that's it! That's it!
And we all know a lot of pig songs that we can probably throw in there, too. Well, like a little bit of War Pigs, right? I can hear the little drum going off right now, but I mean...
War Pigs.
You know, I know. So,
well, this has been... certainly a long time coming, but we won't dwell on that.
Nope.
It's the first of the newest year, 2026, and there'll be more to come. Mm-hmm. Liz, thank you for joining us. I look forward to this.
Thank you for having me, and I hope to be a regular guest on the shows and to come up with some cool, you know, different things that we can do, different series segments that we can get people on and talking about Franklin.
Absolutely. Jamie, thank you again
thank
for
you,
doing
Steve.
This.
Absolutely.
And you listeners, thank you for listening. And a quick reminder as well, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.